We'll be making our way to Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have a study sheet, I would encourage you to go ahead and grab one. I think there's some here in the foyer area. If you don't have any, thank you. I really appreciate it. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Is everybody there? We all good? Everybody get comfortable? You know what we're getting ready to do, right? And they just stand. Let's stand and honor the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, that you'll take any distractions, Lord, that I might have, Lord, any nervousness that I might have away. Lord, I want to be your vessel. Proclaim your truth. Lord, I'm thankful for this parable. Lord, often read, often quoted, often studied. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to look at it with fresh eyes this morning. Lord, sow the seed of your word into us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to see if my little clicker thing is going to work. And it is. Hey, praise the Lord. It's working as of right now. Pray for that. Right? As of right now, it's working. So we're on our third message in this parable, which is crazy to me that we're already into our third message here. And I just want to quickly bring us up into review. We're going to make our way to this section of the parable here in just a few moments. But if you remember in verses 1 and 2, that Jesus has stepped outside of the house. You remember the house is the house of Israel. He's offering them the kingdom of heaven. We spent some time talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and laying some of those things out. And he begins to speak to the nation of Israel and the multitudes in parables. And you see that in the first 9 verses, which we just read. He quotes another parable in verse 24 and verse 31 and verse 33 and verse 44 and verse 45 and verse 47. He lays out all these different parables about the kingdom of heaven, and yet we understand that that's God's physical kingdom, and yet we can make application into our own lives today. And so if you remember, we talked about what a parable is. A parable is a dark saying that reveals truth and hides truth. It depends on who has ears to hear. And let him hear. That's what the verse says in verse 9. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so just as way of review, I want you to remember that Jesus is the sower, and we are the soil. Amen? Jesus is the sower, and we are the soils, and we're looking at the different types of soils. But the other side of this is also, we're also the sower that also sows seed into the seeds of men and the seeds of women, right? And so our job is to sow the word of God into people. And so we are both the sower and the soil. And so every single week, we're going to take some time and talk about the sower. Every single week, we're going to look at a different type of soil. And last week, we looked at the wayside. Man, that was just a blessing to me, right? I hope it was a blessing to you. I promise that almost every time, everything we look at in this sermon series is going to be extremely practical, not a whole lot of Bible study whatsoever, just right across the plate. And the wayside is those people who have hard hearts and they refuse to receive the seeds. All right, so something I want you to see, pay attention to individual words in Scripture, right? And so here's what you need to see here in verse 4. It says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell. What's the next word? It's by the wayside. It's by the wayside. Now, skip down to verse 5. This is where we're going to be today. Some fell upon stony places. skip down and look at verse 7, and some fell among thorns. And then look at verse 8. But other fell into good ground. Pay attention to individual words. By the wayside, upon the stony places, right? Among the thorns, into the good soil. And every one of those applies to every one of us in this room and how you interact with the Word of God. Is it landing by you? In other words, some, for somebody else, but you don't think it applies to you. You're worthy of that word. You're worthy of the seed to be sown into you. Today, we're going to look at those where it falls upon the stony soil, and it doesn't necessarily get down into it. We're going to spend some time talking about that. Next week, we're going to look at the among thorns, and then the last week, we'll get into good soil. All right, so the first question I want you to ask is, am I sowing among the soils? This is the question we're going to ask this week and last week and next week and the week after. This is going to be your very first point, is am I sowing among the soils? And remember, we are the sower. And if you look here in verse 3, he says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. All right, so let's just talk about the sower just for a moment. Because the question you have to be asking, am I truly sowing among of the soils? And we talked about this. If you're not sowing, then you're not a sower. Amen? If you're not sowing, then you're not a sower. You can't call yourself a sower if you're not actually sowing. It just doesn't work like that. So here's the first point, is that sowers sow seeds. I know. You came to church for that one. Sowers sow seeds. Well, listen, in today's day and age, a lot of Christians, they get that twisted. Because they're not sowing the seeds of the Word of God. You know what they're sowing? They're sowing religion. Or they're sowing politics. Or they're sowing philosophies. Or they're sowing all kinds of different things, but they're not necessarily sowing the seed of the Word of God. So notice what it says here. And he went forth, and some seeds fell. So it's plural. Sowers sow seeds. We don't sow religion. We don't sow politics. We don't sow philosophy. Can I get an amen? You know why? Because none of that changes lives. It doesn't. It just doesn't. None of it. You can be consumed with all of that on the radio. You can be consumed with that all on TV. And it'll destroy you. You think it's the seed of the Word of God, and it's not. You need the Word of God. All right, so the next thing is that sowers go and sow. Sowers go and sow because it says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Listen, I'm guilty of this just as much as anybody else. I can be a going person. I can be a person on the go, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm sowing while I'm going. So if you're going to be a sower, you need to be going and sowing. Don't just go. Amen? Somebody needs to hear that. Don't just be on the go, right? You can be so on the go that you forget to sow. And I'm not meaning for all this to rhyme, but I'm kind of stuck with words, right? I'm not trying to be Dr. Seuss. But don't be so on the go that you forget to sow in the lives of people. We get so busy. And I talk about, listen, I need to make a confession to you. I talk about this all the time, how much I despise Walmart, how much I despise going up and down the aisles. I talk about that all the time. God has been convicting me. There are tons of people at Walmart, and that's an opportunity to sow seeds into the lives of people. And that's all God has done recently, is I've been there and I've just had numerous conversations, which I can't stand. And yet, here we are having conversations at Walmart. And what God has been showing me is there are people there. And there are opportunities for me to sow the Word of God into the lives. And so, thank you for praying for me. Now you don't have to avoid me at Walmart. Now you can come and say hi. And we'll have a conversation. But something else I want you to just get your mind around. We just talked about how some falls by the wayside, some falls among thorns, you know, upon the stony places. So if you are truly going and sowing, then there should be evidence that you've been there. There should be evidence when you walk away that some fell. Something fell. The seed of the Word of God has fallen into someone, somewhere. There should be evidence that you've been there. In a good way, by the way. All right, so now, have you thought about this? Where did the sower get the seeds in the first place? You ever think about that? Because this is what hit me as I was mowing my brother-in-law's lawn. Stinking, he's not in here, so I can talk about him. I lost a bet. He lost more weight than I did. Imagine that. He doesn't lose ever. I ought to know better. But as I'm mowing the lawn, I'm just meditating over this. And man, this is important. Sowers have seeds to sow. Here's why. Because another sower sowed seed into them. That's why. It sowed seed into them, trusting that it would grow. Now, let me kind of give you, I'm just going to give you a spoiler, all right, for a message from here, 2 weeks from now. The good soil that brings forth fruit, 160 and 30-fold, it's the sower. The good soil becomes the sower. Why? Because they allowed what was sown into them to grow and to mature and to bear fruit, and it brings forth seeds. And now when the sower goes forth to sow, it has seeds because it allowed the word of God that was sown into them to grow. That is so important to get, and there should be evidence. There should be evidence of growth. There should be evidence that it is in you. So the seed that's being sowed into you today, the seed that gets sowed into you in your quiet time, the seed that gets sowed into you is the fruit that grew, and it grows because someone has sowed into you. And I praise the Lord for that. All right, so I got to leave some stuff for next week as we talk about the sower. We'll talk about the sower again next week. But I want to take it a step further now. We're going to leave the wayside as the wayside. We're going to talk about the stony place. Is my soil a stony place? Not the stony place, but a stony place. I chose that word on purpose. Is my soil a stony place? Now check this out, verse 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Now let that one just percolate on that. It sprung up because it had no deepness of earth. Now, we're going to come back to that here later, verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no fruit, they withered away. The they is the seeds, plural. All right, now skip over here to verse 20 and 21. Because over in 20 and 21, you get a little bit of explanation of what the parable is. So verse 20 says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. I mean, happy to hear the word of God. This is great. Yeah, give me as much Bible as you possibly can. I'll take it. That's what the stony place says. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, remember that phrase, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh, well, here we go. Let's talk about this for a moment. Let's begin to identify the stony place. Let's talk about what the stony place is, because these are people who stay by the other stony places. Notice this. It's the wayside. It's among thorns. It's the good soil. But here it's the stony places, plural. You see that? It's a plural word. So let's just hang out just here just for a moment. Let's just break this down for a moment. Because as I've counseled, as I've discipled, as I've interacted with people, I've run across some stony places. I've been the stony place. I am the stony place at times. Tony, you said you were the wayside last week. Yep, I'm all of them. And so are you. We have potential to be all four of these types of soils. The question is, what kind of soil are you today? And I have a tendency to be the stony place as well. Because the stony places, well, they usually form little groups. And they form little cliques. People that they're comfortable with, that's what the stony places do. Why? Because they don't want to be convicted by having stones. And so if I have stones and you have stones and we have stones together, no one's convicted anymore. You can do your thing and I can do my thing and we're going to do our thing and no conviction. I'm okay. So that's what stony places do. They form little groups and little cliques, and they have low expectations for themselves. That's why they don't have any much soil. They have low expectations for themselves, and so they find people who also have low expectations of themselves, and then they like to keep things pretty surface. You ever met somebody like that? Maybe you are somebody like that. You don't let anybody in, and you for sure don't let the Word of God in. At least not too deep. You'll take it, but you won't receive it too deep because you like to keep everything just kind of on the surface. And you don't let anybody else get deep into your world. Hardly ever. Hardly ever does that ever happen. Well, maybe you're the stony place. Well, maybe that doesn't resonate with you. Well, maybe this does. Because stony places are also those people who run and they bounce when things get a little real and things get a little difficult. When the sun shines and the heat comes on them, they're the ones who run. You know why? Stony places don't like accountability. Stony places don't like vulnerability. They don't want you seeing what's underneath. They want you to see what they put out, but not what's really going on underneath. That's the stony place. And so what do? They tend to isolate themselves. When they can no longer blend in, when they can no longer be the wallflower, when they can no longer hide and they're getting noticed, well, now they're out. They don't want to be noticed. They don't want to be seen. And so they isolate themselves. Here's the other thing, is when they realize that they're not growing like everybody else, they isolate themselves. And so what do? They gravitate to other stony places. It's never a stony place. It's always stony places. Right? It's always numerous places. It's never just one. Y'all with me? All right, so let's go a step further then. Because these are people who are often offended because of the word. Remember, that's what is said here in verse 21. They get offended. Persecution arises because of the word, and by, he is offended. Now, check this out, verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. It's not like you're just like totally opposed to the word of God. The stony place says, yeah, I want the word of God. I'm happy to have the word of God. With joy receive it. No doubt about it. Well, here's the next point, is that they want the word, but they also want their stones. That's why they're the stony place. They want the word of God, but they also want their stones. Now, immediately you might be thinking, my hobbies, or my schedules, or my careers, or my education, or my this, or my that. No. We're not talking about external things. We're talking about internal things. We're not talking about things that hinder you from getting in the Word of God. We're talking about things that hinder the Word of God from getting into you. That's the stony place. We'll talk about the other one next week, the among thorns. That's the cares of the world. We'll deal with that later. But these are things that are below the surface that no one sees. Things like our bitterness. Things like our hurt. Things like our priorities, things like our character issues, things like our lust or addictions or our past or apathy or anxieties, our sin, our guilt. Because as you are in that state of misery and you're hating what's beneath the soil, you still kind of like it. And you want both the word of God and you want the stones. And the problem is they can't inhabit the same land. It just doesn't work like that. We'll get to that here in just a few moments. But these are things that is below the surface. These are the things that you don't want people to see. And that's why when you read the Word of God, James chapter 1, and the Word of God begins to read you, you have an option. You can fix what you see in the reflection of the mirror, or you can go your own way. And the Bible says when you hear the Word of God and you go your own way unchanged, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. So be careful. Well, let's go down deeper into this again. Well, here's the next thing. They're happy when the Word of God and the stones are able to coexist. That's why they stay at the stony place. They hold on to their stones, but they want just enough Bible, just enough Word, just enough seed to show that there's some growth, to give the appearance of growth. So they're happy when it coexists. They're happy to have the Word of God until a stone begins to shift because some of the seed begins to take root. As soon as that seed begins to take root, it begins to work its way down, now we got a problem. Because the problem is the root and the stones cannot ever occupy the same space. It doesn't work. And I think that's why some believers are miserable. You know why? Because they come to church and they're faithful to church attendance. They're faithful to read ahead. They're faithful to take some notes. They're faithful to even memorize the Word of God. They're faithful to have regular Bible reading, and they're faithful to have Bible studies, and they're faithful to do discipleship, and they're faithful to do all of that, and yet there's little growth and they get frustrated. Why? Because you're trying to allow little stones and the Word of God to coexist, and it doesn't work. And so what happens when they can no longer coexist? Well, here's the next point, is they get offended. They get offended when they're convicted by the Word of God. You get offended. And that offense might be from somebody from a pulpit or somebody speaking truth into them or them just reading a Bible passage. And they get convicted, and they, instead of treating it as conviction, they treat it as offense, and they get offended. I think Psalm 119 talks about if you love the Word of God, you're not easily offended. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Is it 168, something like that? Psalm 119, 168? Somebody check that out. I don't want to be lying. Go study that out for yourself. So let me give you my definition of conviction based on this passage. Can I do that? Let me give you my definition of conviction just based on this passage, not on the screen. Conviction equals a stone has to move to allow room for the truth to take root. That's conviction. How do you know when you're convicted? If you realize, wait a second, I can't receive this truth and it be true and allow it to take root in my life with this stone, with this issue that's going on, this bitterness, this anger, this apathy, this struggle, this lust, this addiction, this whatever, you name it. And I've got it and I'm holding on to it and I want the Word of God and I also want my stone. And I'm happy to have both as long as they coexist. But the moment the Word begins to sink in, the moment the Word begins to dive down and says, wait a second, if this is going to be true and it's going to go down and it hits a stone, either the stone's got to move or the seed's going to die. And it's your choice. And when people get convicted, and instead of being convicted and allowing the stone to move, they often get offended because they think that God's persecuting them. They think that they're being persecuted. No, that's called conviction, right? That's called conviction. So the Word of God will always cause one of their stones to move, and it's going to shift, and they're going to get offended. And the Word of God is always, always, always going to do what it can to break down a stone and change it into soil. And please get that. Please get that. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Let me ask you this question then. Will you trust the Word of God to turn your stones into soil? That's what you need to ask God to do. Sowing the Word of God into your life as it gets deeper and deeper and it hits a stone and it hits a hard place. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. Would you please just ask God, Lord, here's a stone. And it's evident that I can't move forward with the stone and the seed. They're at odds with each other. Break my stone and turn it into soil. Let the root go deeper into me. And unfortunately, most of us that are the stony soil, the stony place, we say, this isn't going to work. And we choose the stone. We choose the stone. In fact, that's our next point. Let's get really practical here. They usually choose the stones. That's what happens. They usually choose the stones that hinder the root over the fruit that will grow because of the root. And yes, that was intentional, Dr. Seuss. That is the truth. They usually choose the stones that hinder the root over the fruit that will grow because of the root. And you've seen this happen. You've seen this in your kids. You've seen this in family members. You've seen this in coworkers. You've seen this in people you love and are investing in. Why won't they get it? Why won't they get it? Because they don't want to. Easier to hold on to the soil, to the stone, instead of allowing the root to turn my stone into soil. It's easier. because it's hard to let God do God's work. They don't appreciate the work of the root. They don't appreciate it. And you know what's going to happen? Because they don't appreciate it, they will never celebrate the fruit that would come if it would just take root. They never celebrate. They never have anything to rejoice over. There's never fruit in their life. No one's ever walking with Jesus because they are. And there's no celebration. In fact, what's happening is they're always feeling in tribulation. They're always feeling persecuted. And they're always feeling offended. That's how you find a stony place. Always offended. Always feel like somebody's coming after them. Or always feel like they're going through something. That's called a root turning stone into soil, and that's painful, and it hurts, and it's difficult, but it's so needed. So needed. All right, so let's take it a step further then. Because they're also usually focused so much on the discomfort of change that they can't see the celebration that comes with change. That's the same phrase I just said, just in a different way. Is they're so focused on the discomfort that they can't see the celebration that comes with change. Last week, I went up to Deidre, and I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I am so ready." As she had Luca on the belly, right? Like, are you, like, what are you doing? She's like, "I am so ready to have this baby." And I'm like, "Are you ready for all the stuff?" She goes, "I just want my daughter." And that's sweet. Because here's somebody who's been through it. Number five, by the way. It's crazy. Speak some wisdom into them. What's up with that? Right? Five times, or she's been through it. What is she able to do? She's able to see past the discomfort. Because she recognizes the celebration on the other end. It's childbirth. The same thing applies for us. If you would allow that stone to be turned into soil, if you would allow that thing you're holding on to die and to wither and allow the root to get in, you'd be amazed at the fruit and the celebration that comes on the other side of it. And yet we get so focused on the discomfort that we're not willing to celebrate. We don't want any part of it. Isaiah 37, verse 31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again, look at this, take root downward and bear fruit, which way? Upward. Here's the reality. If you truly want to grow in your walk with the Lord, you truly want to grow in your life, you have to grow down before you can grow up. You have to grow down before you can grow up. So those of you who are focused on being the sower, because right now you're like, "I'm not the stony place, but man, I know some stony places. I'm trying to sow the seed of word of God into them." Well, wait a second. And you don't see any fruit and you don't see anything growing and you're going to get discouraged. Be careful. You don't know what's happening under the soil. You don't know what's happening underneath there. There's maybe growth that you can't see. That shows up later. You have to grow downward before you can grow upward. Amen? All right, so check this out. Go back over here. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? That's a weird phrase. Because they had no deepness of earth, it grew immediately. Well, give me shallow dirt then. Right? I mean, that would be the obvious. I guess I want shallow dirt if I really want to grow. Well, that's not what he's saying. Why did it grow so quick? Well, here's your next point. These are people who experience quick growth but not lasting growth. Oh, you can grow quickly. Guaranteed you can grow quickly, but it doesn't mean it's going to last. And maybe you're thinking, "Well, Tony, this can't be me. Look at me. I've got some growth. I'm already growing. Is it going to last?" Because I see this in church camps. I see this in discipleship. I see this in Bible studies where it seems like, "Oh man, this person's really getting it." Are they? Are they really getting it? Well, look how fast they're growing. That's evidence that they're not growing. If they're growing quickly, it's usually evidence that they're not growing, that they're not getting it. Because if it's fast growth, that means they didn't take any time to grow down. They wanted to immediately grow up. Be careful. You see, they're quick to grow quickly, and they die quickly. They grow quickly, and they die quickly. Let me give you the blank just prior to that. They're quick to grow because the seed has no other option but to grow up. They're quick to grow because the seed has no other option but to grow up. You see, when the seed doesn't have much earth to sink down into. See that little image I've got for you? When the seed doesn't have much earth to sink down into, when it reaches the bottom, it has no other option than to spring up. So it doesn't have much earth to sink down into, and it grows down to the stones and immediately has to grow up. It's like, and it looks like there's good things happening on the surface. Looks like, oh man, look at that fast, amazing growth on the surface. Remember, stony places are surface people. And there's not a whole lot of depth happening there. If you're not careful, it's going to fool the sower. Stony places won't grow down. And here's what happens, is they stop growing completely, which takes us to this point. They grow quickly, and they die quickly. We call that a flash fire. You know some flash fires? Maybe you are the flash fire. You see spurts of growth in your life. Boom, boom. Oh, man, I do this, and immediately I just feel like I'm growing. This is happening, and immediately I'm growing. Hold on a second. Are you dealing with the stones? Are you dealing with the stony places? Are you handling it? Or if not, then you're missing out. That's not true growth. Because it says this. Go over verse 21. Verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." In other words, you're forced to rely on your personal strength and effort to fake growth instead of lasting growth. You're faking it. On the surface, it looks real. On the surface, it looks awesome. But it's not real. Because you're doing it in and of your own strength. You can pretend all day long. But here's the reality. The sun's coming up. And it's going to get hot. And it's going to beat down, and it's going to get hot. If you notice this, verse 6, it says, "When the sun was up, they were scorched." Why? Because they had no root. And what happened to them? They withered away. I have no idea what's going on here, but yeah, we want to do that. It's getting ready to die on us. All right, so get this. The sun shines on all soils. The sun shines on all soils, but it's the stony place that can't take the heat. Y'all with me? The sun shines on all soils, but the stony places can't take the heat. Because it says, when the sun was up. We're almost done. And maybe you're thinking, well, Tony, the what do I do here? How do I handle it? Just turn that TV off, David. Just turn it off. How do I handle this? Well, all right, so I'm a weird dude, and I study things that I'm never going to do. My wife is always making fun of me because I watch YouTube videos on how to build pole barns. She's like, "Are you going to build a pole barn?" No, but I sure do enjoy watching this guy build a pole barn, right? It's intriguing to me. It's strange to me. Here's the other thing I'm getting into, and I don't do this. It's like cover crops and no-till soils and gardening. I am so intrigued by that, but if you were coming to my house, zero garden, zero preparation for a garden, and honestly, I found out no desire to garden, and yet I want to know everything about it. And so here I am, I'm studying and learning and growing, and then I find Zach Lauck, he's not here. Zach Lauck did a presentation last year on no-till soils and working a farm over and changing soils and junk soils, and all of a sudden it becomes good soils, and I'm like, why am I so intrigued by this? I don't know. But as I'm studying this, I'm realizing, oh, that's what is happening here. There's no tilling happening here. the seed falls on the surface. It's up to each soil what happens with it. And maybe you're thinking, Tony, I am the stony place. I've had a whole lot of quick growth and it's died because it gets hot, it gets hard, it gets tough, and I've withered away. Now what? Well, you leave that cover crop there where it failed, it flopped, and you sow into that. And God begins to change your failures and begins to turn that into soil. Y'all with me? That's how you step forward, because you might be sitting here and goes, I feel beat up. I feel like I'm not getting anything. I feel like that's me. I feel like I'm miserable. And I've had this explosive growth at times, and then it just flopped and it fell and I died. Am I fake? Well, maybe. But now all of that has died on the surface, and now there's a place for that seed to fall into. Now there's a place where what was fake growth is now an opportunity to truly grow. All right, two last points, we're out. Let's get really serious here. Last two things I want you to get. The first one is this. Times of heat will reveal what's lacking beneath. Times of heat will always reveal what's lacking beneath the soil. When you're going, my T.D. Jakes rag here, I'm getting sweaty. All right, so listen, when you're going through it and it's hard and it's difficult and the heat rises and the heat comes in your life, it's going to reveal what's happening underneath that soil. Because you have to run to the root. That's what sustains the plant. The root is what bears the fruit, not what's hanging above the soil, right? It's not the stalk. It's not the branch. It's the root that holds on to it. That's the biblical. And when it runs to the root to find solace, to find hope, to find peace in the midst of the hard times, there's nothing there, and so it dies. So times of heat reveal what's lacking beneath. Here's the last thing, and oh, man, get this. This is the most important point right here. This is it. Times of heat should cause your roots to grow down. Times of heat should cause your roots to grow down. That is what is necessary for true growth. Why is it so hard? Why is it so tough? Why is it so difficult for me? Why am I going through this tribulation? Why am I going through this persecution? Why am I always feeling offended? Because God's giving you an opportunity to grow. That's why. It's an opportunity to decide to go deeper. And oftentimes we just want to say, I'm making it. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to do this on my own. No, you're not. You're going to fail every single time. You have no strength in and of yourself. So focus on growing deeper, not higher. Amen? You want me to say that one more time? Focus on growing deeper, not higher. And some of the best times of growth should come in times of intense heat, intense difficulty. That should be the times where you've grown the most. And I got news for you. That is evident in my life. The times I've grown the most have been the times where I've been through it. The hardest times of my life. And on the surface, it looks like nothing's happened. On the surface, it might look like, man, that guy is miserable and that guy's going through it. He is. But you don't know what's going on underneath that soil. As God is turning stones into soil and growing deeper in times of immense heat. Let me take you to one passage of Scripture, one cross-reference. This is it. Go to Psalm 1. You know where we're going. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And check this out. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in season, His leaf also shall not wither, withers, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, where's this tree planted? By the rivers of waters. What's the water? It's the word of God. How's it planted? By soaking its roots in deep. Man, this is beautiful. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, that is desperately what the stony place needs. Remember last week, the wayside, you know what they needed? They just need to be willing to receive the seed. Just submit, right? This soil desperately needs to grow down. When they're so focused on growing up, be willing to grow down and turn stones into soil so that you're planted by the rivers of waters. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Maybe you need somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with, do business with the Lord. Our questions we asked were, am I sowing in the soils? And is my soil a stony place? I can't make that distinction. I can't answer those questions. You have to. What are you going to do with the truths that you received today? Will you receive it? Or will you feel persecuted and offended by it? Don't confuse conviction with being offended. Use it if you're feeling convicted. That's an opportunity for you to turn a stone into soil. Please make that your prayer. Let's take about 10 seconds. Why don't you just pray on your own to the Lord? I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here. But if you need somebody to talk to, Dave and Kathy will be over in this area. David and Brittany Doherty will be over in this area. If you see somebody to talk to, maybe pray with, they'll just be over here. Take about 10, 15 seconds, and I'll close this. Lord, we all have the potential to be the wayside, the stony place, to be the thorny ground of the good soil. Lord, as we dove in and looked at the stony place, Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the things that you showed us out of these verses, just how practical it was and how real it was. Lord, how much it hit home in my own life. Lord, I pray for those in this room or watching online or considering whether they're the stony soil or the stony place, as they begin to identify the stones in their own lives that are hindering the root from bearing downward so that it can truly bear fruit upward. Lord, I pray that you will reveal those stones to every single one of us. Lord, that we'll make the choice not to be offended, not to wither away when the difficult time comes, but to go deeper and to grow down. And Lord, just see the value in growing down. And stop trying to put on a face and trying to put on a facade and trying to show everything's fine on the surface. Lord, I pray that we'd be real and real with you and real with others. And just be willing to receive the seed and allow it to truly take root in our lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that it will not fall on our deaf ears. And Lord, that we will have ears to hear it. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, those of you who are in the Cornhole League, don't forget, you want to be here. If you're not able to be here, find a sub, those type of things. Find five people you have to say hi to. Give them fist bump or high five, an elbow bump, hug, whatever it is. Let them know you love them. See you guys.